Keepsakes and Memories, Love Only Knows, by Darth Stitch, read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. Dream's not going to be that tragic figure standing in the pouring rain. Not if Hobgadling has anything to say about it. 1. Take me away from this old game. See, Hob knows this dance. He knows every step, every movement, every little trap laid out in the open, waiting to be sprung by angry words and furious recriminations. He could see it all laid out in front of him as Dream tells him the story. And Dream comes by his title honestly, gods help them all. The Prince of Stories tells his tale as the ancient legend that it is, passed down through the generations, kept alive only in memory. How a beautiful queen fell in love with an immortal being, and how she sought him relentlessly, not knowing of his true nature. How the animals of that land gave her aid, and how her path eventually led her to a great castle where the king of all knights dreaming ruled. How he'd been charmed by her persistence and offered to make her his queen. How frightened she had been when she realized she had confessed her love to one of the Endless, and that it would only lead to disaster for her and her people. And how, indeed, it did not end happily ever after for either of them. Nada suffering unjustly in hell for the last 10,000 years, her kingdom destroyed, and her surviving people only the briefest shadow of the glory that had been theirs, passing on her tale to their daughters and sons. How Dream had not forgiven her for choosing death over queenship of the Dreaming, an eternal place by his side. An ancient legend, every word of it true. Dream does not spare himself in this, selfish, capricious, passionate, and unbearably cruel. Hob watches Dream sink into himself, shoulders hunched, his eyes a fathomless darkness, giving nothing away. Waiting for the next step of his wretched dance, the next move of this ridiculous game. Hob gently cradles Dream's face in his hands. Now you listen to me. Go off and do what you need to do. Get Nada out of hell. Make things right. And you come home to me. Do you understand?
What?
There it was now, the darkness in his eyes giving way to that more familiar blue, almost comical in his surprise.
You heard me, Dream of the Endless. You don't get to do this shite, do you understand? You don't get to be the tragic figure standing in the rain for stupid, selfish things you've done in the past. There's nothing to be done about that except make it right when you can and live with everything else.
Hob, I...
Dream tries to twist away, red flooding his cheeks, his skin suddenly almost feverish hot to the touch. He tries to take refuge in his familiar pride.
You dare to...
Hob is unrelenting.
Swear to me you won't do anything stupid. You save her and you come home. Promise me.
He's not surprised when Dream folds into his embrace, hiding his face in the crook of Hob's neck, shaking. He's not surprised when he feels tears, because Hob's not exactly dry-eyed himself. He finds himself murmuring endearments in his old tongue, pressing kisses into the soft, feathery mess of Dream's hair.
I promise you all this, with everything that I am. I swear it.
2. Love only knows if we'll give in to fear. Dream has been warned about this before, that his stiff, unyielding pride would eventually lead to his own downfall, that Nada wasn't the only dreadful tale in a life filled with a great many sins and other monstrous deeds, that 1,000 dreamers now paid the price for that one moment where he had faltered in his duty, which led to a star going mad and a universe dying. So many sins, so many sorrows, so much grief. For such a long time, Dream had thought there was really only one way to make things right. Only one way to atone for everything. He'd considered it carefully in the 100 years he'd spent trapped in Burgess's hedge magic prison. He'd seen the path unfolding in front of him, and the many torturous twists and turns he would need to take to get there. But then, there was Hob Gadling, and he'd made a promise, a binding oath to this man, cherished and best beloved. Fortunately, it was a Wednesday, and Dream did have a standing appointment.
I find myself in need of your assistance, Captain of the Host.
What an amazing coincidence. I thought I ought to pay a visit to my sibling Dream. It has been a long time since I've seen them.
3. You were the secret I loved to keep.
The Hellfire Club was Eddie Munson's idea. Of course, Eddie claimed that he'd really been inspired by Professor Gadling talking about the Hellfire Clubs of 18th century Britain and Ireland, to say nothing about the infamous Everlasting Club of Jesus College.
What? Eddie had read about it in this well-loved and battered book of classic ghost stories.
That story had been retold by Murphy during one suitably dark and stormy night, and it was, in fact, the moment that everyone had decided he would make for an amazing DM. So they'd welcomed Murphy into the club and even presented him with the official t-shirt. Professor G now treasures a picture of a very bemused Murphy wearing said Hellfire Club t-shirt, framed and set prominently on his desk. Inspiration, he would say cheerfully, even as Murphy would shake his head and murmur, "Oh, my gods." Today, they were inducting a new member into the club, brought in by Lucas's little sister, Erica. The Hellfire Club wasn't just for older students, really. Steve had started it by bringing along the younger kids he'd been babysitting. The better, he said, to keep them out of trouble and get them out of the way of whoever had the title of bullying git for that particular level. Eddie had become friends with Max precisely because she'd been hiding from her wanker of a stepbrother, and it was one of those happy coincidences that she'd already become friends with Mike and the others before she became an official club member. So Erica bringing along her new classmate to the club? No big deal. He would be welcomed. And actually, they were in luck, because Murphy was hanging out with them waiting for Professor G to finish up his other classes. Murphy was currently having a serious conversation with Mike's little sister, 4-year-old Holly, and the adorableness was already being recorded for posterity, read Professor G, by a snickering Iggy. So Erica lets herself into the old rehearsal room that they regularly met up in when the drama club wasn't in session, followed by her new friend.
"So hey guys, here's my friend I was telling you about. Uncle Dream?"
Murphy blinked, and then smiled.
"Hello, Jed Walker."
How he managed not to get knocked over by an excited 12-year-old boy while holding on to a giggling little girl was something short of a miracle. Everyone gaped.
"Uncle Dream?"
"Yeah, he's my Uncle Dream, and he's really cool because he's the real Sandman."
"Dude, what?" "It is one of my names," Murphy said mildly, putting an arm around Jed and letting him lean against him. "And he is my nephew, which makes him joining the club a very pleasant surprise."
"Talk about stellar references, dude," Iggy chortled.
Well, there was nothing for it.
"Welcome to the club, Master Jed Walker," Eddie said, adding a formal bow with a flourish. Erica shook her head.
"You are so telling me everything about this later, Jed."
Jed shrugged. "That's pretty much everything. He's Uncle Dream, and I didn't know that he was part of your club."
"Dude, he's our DM, and he's like the best DM ever,"
Iggy drawled. "Co-signed," the rest of the club chorused their agreements, which made Dream incline his head regally to acknowledge the compliment. Dustin was thinking something over.
Murphy.
"Wait a minute. Murphy as in Morpheus?"
"Another of my names, yes."
"So, like, do you, like, do the whole magic thing with dreams and the sleep thing?" Dustin's impending barrage of questions was suddenly interrupted by,
"Mr. Sandman," Holly sung out loud, perfectly pitched. "Wing me a dream."
Murphy, Dream? Smiled again, and very gently touched his finger to her nose.
"Wait, an actual boop?"
Making her giggle.
"Perhaps later, when you're ready for your nap."
Yeah, that cryptid file they had was definitely going to get an update.
The end.
Footnote the first. Look, every Babu in the general vicinity of Dream of the Endless has decided that they are going to attach themselves to him like nobody's business.
including Daniel Hall, eventually, but in a very good way that involves nothing of the kind ladies or other sad-inducing, potentially apocalyptic events. Footnote the second. Iggy had the sense to take a video of Holly happily singing the Mr. Sandman song to a very amused Dream. Professor G was absolutely delighted with this, which resulted in the class getting to host another D&D session at the New Inn with proper provisions, enough to fuel 100 quests against Demogorgons. Footnote the third. Something always came up whenever Dustin tried to corner Dream so that he could solidify his cryptid file. Dustin is starting to suspect some sort of magic meddling in this. Actually, Dream just ended up getting distracted by the adjacent little siblings of the Hellfire Club members. Footnote the fourth. A new student eventually joined Professor Gadling's favorite class. She was Jed's older sister, Rose.